following program is brought to you in living color.
Previously on the Ron Van Dam Show.
This is embarrassing. You should not be listening to this show.
What the hell is that about? The hell are you doing?
And now, today's episode.
Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. Good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
There you go.
Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Hey, welcome to the program. It is the Ron Van Dam Show. Guess which one I am? No, you're wrong. That's right. Yeah, welcome to the program. How are you today? I hope so. I hope you're all right. Yeah, you know, whatever. Well, on this show, we just sit back and have fun for a period of time. No heavy stuff, man. Just observances of everyday life as we all muddle through it and have a good time doing it. So, I hope you're well and healthy, and if you are, then we can continue. Even if you're not, we can continue. It's funny, when I had a real job, I was a manager for a large company, and many of the salespeople had to give presentations, and they would always be nervous about standing in front of a crowd. And what I told them was the old adage, just stand in front of your audience and picture them all naked. And all of a sudden, you won't feel so intimidated. You'll feel like, you know, you're in control. Just knock them down a notch. Make believe they're sitting there and everybody's naked. And I tell you, I do that in life, too. When I go to the supermarket, I picture everybody shopping naked with a shopping cart. And it's funny. It's humorous. And people say, well, what are you laughing at? And I'm picturing you naked. Well, they book me, take my fingerprints, and it doesn't work out. By the way, just to be honest with you, picturing people naked is not necessarily an erotic thing at all. It's kind of disgusting. Most people that you meet, picturing them naked is not a pleasant thing. It's actually nauseating. And the people that I do picture naked who are attractive, then I have to picture them as having a personality. And you can't have both. Okay, whatever. Anyway, are you enjoying the show so far?
It was unbelievably painful.
I understand that. Sounds like you're describing having children, and let me tell you something. I'm going to go through my entire life without that experience. I have children, but I didn't push them out. And I think that's a whole different thing. And one is saying, like, why is a mother so connected to her children? Because of the pain and agony involved. A child was living inside your body for like 9 months. It's such a long time. Didn't pay rent. No rent control. Nothing. Baby just and then leaned on your spine just for good measure. Like, thank you for giving me birth. Now I'm gonna hurt you. Yeah, I will never have that experience, and I don't know if that's good or not. You know, this is a I don't know why I even went there, to be honest with you. I have no idea. By the way, You don't understand. You just don't understand. I don't sit here for hours writing down what I'm going to discuss on the show or what's going to pop into my mind. I don't plan anything. And that goes for everything I do. I don't really plan. I plan it in my head, but I never execute it accordingly. I always do something else. I make these big plans. Like tomorrow, I am going to do some yard work. I'm going to rake, and I'm going to detoxify my lawn, and I don't even know what that is. I'm going to prune my trees. I'm going to eat prunes while I'm clipping my trees and my hedges and all that. And I'm going to plant some roses and some tulips and some begonias. And I'm going to and I make all these plans. And the next day, sun comes up. I ain't doing that crap. No. That was a bit ambitious on my part. Actually, the fact that I planned all of that is too much work, and I think I'm done for that category. So I don't plan for this show. I sit down, and I put the microphone in my face, and we do the show, and I have no idea what I'm going to be talking about, where it's going to lead, nothing. All I know is I picture you naked, and that's enough to pretty much just end my career. I've talked about this before. Don't ever look in the mirror. Don't. Oh, God, don't do that. Oh, it's bad enough we have to look at you. Oh, don't ever look in the mirror. It's an awful, awful thing. Don't you want to get depressed really fast? Look in the mirror. Oh, don't do it. No. Unless you got all, you know, unless you coiffed yourself, you fixed your hair, you tweezed your eyebrows, you did then you look all right, you know, it's okay. But if you don't ever look in the mirror when you wake up in the morning. What are you crazy? Was a death wish on your part? Are you crazy? You want to just destroy every piece of confidence you ever had? Don't look in the mirror. Put a curtain over it. Paint it black. Ooh, that's depressing. Oh, man, don't do that. Do you ever go to the, what do they call these people? Hairstylists? Hairdressers? I don't know how they dress your hair. I have no idea what dressing your hair would be. Hairdresser, a hairstylist, barber. See, if you're a guy, you go to a barber. If you're a woman, you go to a lady barber, which is a hairstylist. So they do your hair, you know, and you're sitting in a chair and you're looking in the mirror. They have a mirror there because you're going to look good. You're going to look good. That's their job, is to make you look good, and that's what they do. So you're going to sit there, you're going to stare at yourself in the mirror, and you're going to go, well, you know, this is passable. This might even be good. This might even be good. And then they take that second-hand mirror, and they show you the back of your head. Don't ever show me the back of my head. I have gone through my life with the illusion that I look good from the front, and I never consider the fact someone might someday actually see me walking away from them and see the back of my head. Oh, what a shock that is. Do you ever want to wake up quickly? If you're groggy, get someone to hold a mirror in the back of your head, and you will just, whoa, boom, that's like a shock. The back of your head, oh my, I have no idea, I didn't know. I had no idea what it looked like. I'm not happy with it. I don't like the back of my head. I must constantly be facing forward, and I must make sure nobody stands behind me ever in line. Oh, my God. And then they show you the top of your head, and it's, oh, there's a top to this thing? Oh, my God, look at it. It's got things on it. Oh, what the hell's going on up there? Because when we look in the mirror, we can't see that stuff. I don't think I've seen my back since I was like ever. I never see my... How can you see your back in a mirror? You can't. It's physically impossible, unless you're a contortionist, in which case you're probably some type of nymphomaniac, because, I mean, if you can contort your body, then put it to good use occupationally. But seriously, man, whoever sees their back, nobody ever does. Your doctor does. Your doctor's the only person... You think your spouse, your boyfriend, your girlfriend sees your back? No, you turn the lights off. They don't want to see that. I have no idea what's back there. Sometimes I'll put my hand back there and I'll feel my back and it's like, whoa, this feels like the surface of the moon. What's going on back there? Well, it's the fact that you can't clean it that well. My arms don't stretch to the point where I can touch all the areas of my back. I'm quite limited in what my back motion can be with my arms. There's parts of my back that just don't ever get clean, not with soap at least. Well, Ron, what about those little loofahs on a handle? Ugh, seriously, get a life. Get a life. First of all, loofah is something that is not in my vocabulary. I know what it is, but I tend not to say it. I don't know what's going on my back. I have no, I don't want to know. Back of my head, anything that has the back involved, the back of something, I don't need to know about it. I'll sit in my backyard because I can see that if I'm facing forward. But if my backyard is behind me, I can't see my backyard. I can feel my ass, but I can't see it. I believe it's quite attractive, I've been told, but I'm going on other people's opinions. I don't know for a fact that it looks good at all. And you women who say, oh, I want a bigger butt, check it out first, man. Don't just ask for it. Take a tour. Take a virtual tour. Yeah, I don't think your massage therapist or anybody that sees your back is gonna actually tell you what's going on back there. They're not. Hey, Ron, did you see your back? No, I've never seen it. Whoa, that is a maze of crap back there. I don't know what skin condition you call this, but I don't know if it's from this planet, because you picked something up, man. I don't know what that stuff is. Yeah, it's scary. You see, in life, am I going to get deep now? You see, in life, perception is 99% of the law. What you see is what you get. What you perceive is what is to you. Doesn't matter what it is to everybody else. If you perceive it a certain way, that's the way it is. It's all your perception. You're in charge of that. Yeah. You have your opinions on things. That's called your perception of things. That's what matters. There's two kinds of people on the planet. You and me. There's two kinds of people on the planet. People that believe everything that everybody else says. They're usually churchgoers. And then there's the people who believe nothing that's told to them. Oh, if they said it to me, it must be the opposite. It's a conspiracy. They've all gotten together to screw me up. It's a conspiracy. Everybody's against me. Everybody's for the destruction of everything. I see through everybody. Those are the two kinds of people, and there's nothing in between. There's nothing in between. And you know how you judge this? You think of one of your loved ones, maybe one of your parents or a spouse or a boyfriend, girlfriend. And if they say something to you, do you believe it without question? Or do you say to them, anything you say, I don't believe, because you're screwed up. Here's the thing. If someone who you really like tells you something, you dismiss it. But then like later on during the day, maybe they're right. You know, Maybe my back really does have all kinds of things on it. You don't know. You don't know. You have no idea. You don't know. You don't know anything. So we all try to make it through, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. But this is a comedy show. Sure. All right, that's enough. That's enough. That's called a laugh track. Mine is three minutes long. I don't use a laugh track. The point of doing this show is just to, you know, just not to be too serious about anything. You can't be too serious in life. That'll depress the hell out of you. Oh my God. And I'm not talking about just right now with the thing going on. I'm talking about, like, always. If you look at the worst part of life, it's depressing. Ever since they started with this 24-hour news stations, God, stop this crap. Stop it. You don't have to be telling me the news 24 hours a day, analyzing every nook and cranny of everything and breaking it down to the point of obsessively destroying everything in sight. It's awful. Don't ever watch a 24-hour news station, especially when we're going through this stuff. I mean, God, what are you purposely out to destroy me? Is that what you're doing? You're trying to psychologically knock me down to the smallest piece of crap you can possibly get me into? God, don't watch the news. Don't watch the news. Keep informed. Stay informed. Know what's going on. But don't let them analyze the crap out of anything. I don't care about your opinions. Tell me some facts. Let me be on my way. I'm going to have dinner or drink. Do my thing. Don't invade my life. Don't try to psychologically break me down into some type of forgiveness. It's enough. It's enough. Let's put things in perspective. Stay out of my face. And you're in charge of that. You can turn off the news. You can turn off the TV. You can change the channel. Do you know what channel I've been watching during this thing that's going on right now? I've been watching a thing called MeTV. It's all about me. It's a syndicated channel. And they have television shows from the 60s, 70s, and 80s. And maybe you were born at that point, maybe you weren't, but it's all light, fluffy, wonderful stuff. And right now, I think we all need some light, fluffy, wonderful stuff. So I'm living in that world. I'm living in TV land, so to speak. Reality right now, it's not exactly a comfortable situation. So what should we do? Get out of reality, man. It's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. Take your mind and put it somewhere else. So I watched this. It's called MeTV, Memorable Television, I think is what it is. And they run shows like Leave It to Beaver, Bewitched, Beverly Hillbillies. I don't care for all of these shows, to be honest with you. But they're mindless fun. Isn't that what life is supposed to be about? Mindless fun? When you're laughing with your friends, assuming you have them still, when you're laughing with your friends, isn't the mindless, fluffy, stupid stuff the stuff that you laugh at? Yes, it's not the serious, factual stuff. You don't laugh at that crap. You laugh at the fluffy stuff. Let's live a little more fluffy, a little more stupidly. Don't act stupid, but escape to stupid sometimes. I've said this before. I, I know some people, they come up to me because I do this. I've been doing this like forever. Since I went down the birth canal, they gave me a microphone. I've been doing this for 30 years. Holy crap, Ron, you don't sound like you're 30 years old. I'm not. So I know a lot of stuff. I've done thousands and thousands of interviews with experts all over the planet. Yeah, so I pick up stuff and yeah, okay, maybe I know a little bit more than you do. So people come up to me and say, Ron, what's going on in the world today? And I say to myself, oh my God, you are so freaking stupid. You don't know, you got to ask me what's going on? Find out what's going on yourself. God, what a stupid thing to say. And then I think, I go, wait a minute, stupid right now is pretty cool. I wish I was stupid. I mean, I can't be. But I wish I was. I wish I didn't understand a lot of stuff that's going on. I wish I could get a good night's sleep without my mind picking up too much information. That would be wonderful. I do have a guest today who's going to join me momentarily. And here's a surprise. The guest is you. No, it's not you. I'm sorry. It's not you at all. So, shall we?
You know how a lot of people really like salted caramel? That sweet, rich caramel flavor, that bite of the salt, and come on, if you like it, you know you like it with a little extra salt, don't you? Of course you do. And that's why you listen to the Ron Van Dam Show. He is the sweet and salty treat of the podcasting world, with a little extra saltiness. It's an acquired taste. You're listening to the Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Hello, Jeff.
Hi, Ron. Good morning. How are you?
I'm great, thank you. Jeff Kerr joins us now. He's general counsel to PETA, which is the animal protection organization that we're all familiar with. We're also familiar with this popular Netflix, I believe it is, program. Is it Netflix, indeed?
Probably. That's right. That's right.
It's The Tiger King, which is interesting. We've had a couple of those people on our show through the years before this ever happened to our knowledge. So this is very interesting. And most of the public is aware of it and has been watched this show. It is a graphic example of in most cases, mistreatment of animals. And I'm wondering, and first of all, Jeff, thank you so much for being here with us today.
My pleasure, Ron. Thank you for having me.
I'm wondering how long has this concern about these particular individuals and cases thereof, how prominent were they before the series ever came out? Because after the series came out, people were livid with the treatment of animals, and I think they were looking to PETA to respond to this. Chronologically, how did this work out?
Yeah, we at PETA have been fighting hard for many, many years, going back a couple of decades, to close down these animal abusers. And let's be really clear. Certainly, Tiger King has captured the world's attention. But importantly, it started a dialogue about exactly what you said, and that's the cruelty that's inherent in these roadside zoos and the cub petting industry. And the important thing is viewers must understand that Joe, Jeff, Tim, Doc, and Mario, the people who are featured in the in the series, are animal abusers, and we have to work to shut them down. And PETA's been doing just that. In fact, we are hard at work to end the big cat cub petting nationwide through lawsuits brought but under the Endangered Species Act, the federal law that protects endangered species. And we've just won a landmark lawsuit that established that prematurely separating the tiger cubs from their mothers, which is what makes those photo ops and cub petting possible, and using them in those kinds of public encounters violates the Endangered Species Act. Yeah. And we've had to be doing this because we're essentially doing the job of the Federal Fish and Wildlife Service, who's supposed to be enforcing the Animal Welfare Act, right. And also because the federal USDA, U.S. Department of Agriculture, that also is supposed to be regulating these so-called exhibitors really haven't been doing their job unless and until you get this kind of public notoriety. We've been complaining about these people for years and years, and they're just not doing anything. I mean, just to give you an idea, Jeff Lowe pled guilty to felony mail fraud in 2008 after he posed as a domestic violence charity to get marked down products for his liquidation store in South Carolina, where he was keeping big cats in a warehouse. And he's got other problems. Once that county enacted an ordinance prohibiting to have those animals there, he fled and took up with the GW Zoo with Joe Exotic. Jeff Lowe's home in Las Vegas was raided by authorities in 2017, who seized two big cat cubs and a lemur. And he's still facing those issues. The next court hearing in that case is in June. And, you know, this is the kind of people we're dealing with. We're also Tim Stark, who was also featured. Hopefully his animal exploiting days are numbered. PETA is suing him, also under the Endangered Species Act, over his cruel big cat cub encounters. And we were granted a first-of-its-kind preliminary injunction in that case, prohibiting him from declawing the big cats. This is something that he does. It's horribly cruel. It's not like trimming your cat's nails. This is amputation at the first knuckle, basically, for these big cats, and it leads to a lifetime of problems. And we've got that stopped, and we've stopped him from separating separating cubs from their mothers, and the list goes on and on. Doc Antle.
Yes.
Has a long and dirty history of more than 75 federal animal welfare violations, including for things like failing to provide animals with appropriate vet care, sufficient space, protection from the elements, and for allowing the kind of direct contact between dangerous animals and the public that you see throughout Tiger King.
Well, it was almost, it basically was a scam for decades. We had Antle on our program a few times back in the 1990s, and he came off to be an animal expert and did educational tours, but would actually to benefit himself and himself only and his lifestyle. But he came off as an animal expert, appeared on Letterman, that kind of thing. And nobody ever thought twice about how he was treating the animals. They actually thought, well, here's a guy who's actually caring for them and rescuing them. Couldn't be further from the truth.
Well, that's right. And that's exactly their MO, isn't it? They hold themselves out as supposedly caring about these animals.
Right.
But like you absolutely said, this is about nothing more than profit and exploiting the animals for them.
Right.
No legitimate sanctuary is going to breed animals. None of them are going to buy or sell animals. They're not going to allow direct contact with the animals. They're going to find permanent home. They're going to establish permanent homes for these animals. And of course, like you said, it's not going to be about profit. They're going to be legitimate charities. So unless a facility is accredited by the Global Federation of Animal Sanctuaries, they're the gold standard. People should stay away.
Yeah.
And I can't emphasize it enough that we encourage people to never go to one of these roadside zoos.
Right.
And another big thing that a lot of people can do right now while we're all staying home, there is federal legislation pending in Congress right now called the Big Cat Public Safety Act. And I would encourage your listeners to write to their federal legislators to support that act, the Big Cat Public Safety Act. It would prohibit private ownership of big cats and direct contact with these animals.
Yeah.
And that would essentially end cub petting once and for all.
I mean, I've often said that if someone just saw a documentary about this, and there are many of them, but they're not infiltrated enough, just saw how these animals are actually treated behind the scenes, not in front of the people, but behind the scenes, they would all throw up. They would all scream bloody murder, get these guys behind bars, shut them down. It's a natural human reaction. We need to do more of that.
That's right, and that's part of what we take exception to in Tiger King. What they didn't show you at the GW Zoo with Joe Exotic was the behind the scenes of the rows and rows of cages, 10 feet by 10 feet, with two cats per cage, just reeking of urine stench. And the tigers and lions and other big cats just pacing back and forth from what is called stereotypic behavior, where they're essentially being driven mad by being so intensely confined like that. Yeah. And that's why, you know, people should just never, never go. Right. And we have, in the last 8 years, we've helped rescue at PETA. We've helped rescue 73 bears, 50 big cats, 12 primates, including 39 tigers, 3 bears, 2 chimpanzees, and 2 baboons from Joe Exotic's roadside zoo.
Alone. Yeah.
And I'm happy to tell you that these animals are now thriving in reputable sanctuaries where they can finally enjoy some semblance of a decent life.
Well, we could talk for a long time, but we don't have that time. But there are places we can go to get more information. Tell us about those.
That's right. Please visit PETA.org, where we've posted blogs on the histories of the abusers that are featured in Tiger King. And we've also explained the welfare issues on how the big cats and other captive animals suffer in ways that were not covered by the series.
Right.
And we've got multiple ways people can help while they're home in the quarantine, including by writing about the Big Cat Public Safety Act, as I mentioned, and writing to some of these exhibitors to try to convince them to send their animals to reputable sanctuaries.
Well, Jeff Kerr, thank you so much for doing what you do. This Tiger King thing has actually opened people's eyes. Didn't go far enough to open them wide enough, but certainly opened them up. So that's a good thing out of that. Thank you so much for your time, and everybody get on board with this, and you can actually make a difference and stop this. All right, there you go for today. Hey, good news and bad news. The good news is I'm going to be back again tomorrow with a brand new show. That's the good news. The bad news is I'm going to be back again tomorrow with a brand new show. It's like you can't win. Please join me. Subscribe to this. I think there's a little button somewhere that says, you know, subscribe, follow, whatever the hell. I don't know this stuff. It's not my job. It's not my thing. So just do that. We appreciate that because I get compensated accordingly. And that would be wonderful. And then make us a part of your routine. You need routine in your life right now. Here I am. So let's do the routine thing. Check in with me every single day. Brand new show. As long as it's a weekday. I mean, you know what I'm saying? You know. Okay. Yes. Is that a yes? I can't hear you. Have yourselves a wonderful day. I wish you peace.